Today's daf is daf Tzadik Gimel, and we're holding by the Mishnah. Mishayanasir Shalosh Nashim Vamei, the person is married to three women, and he dies. Kituvata Shalzoman, Vashalzomatayim, Vashalzor Shalosh Meot, and they have differing values to their Kituvah. Wife number one is 100 zuz, number two is 200 zuz, number three is 300 zuz. All of them are signed on the same day, so that they don't have an earlier shibud. So all of the shibudim were chal, the liens were chal, all at the same time, against the same properties. Ve'in sham elamana. Now all that is left at the husband's estate is a piece of property that is worth only one mana. So then, chokin b'shave. Since all of them basically have a tvi'ah for a mana, and they all have liens against the same property, they split it three ways, and they each take a similar part. Suppose a yushamatayim, suppose there were 200 zuz. Here we have a very strange halacha. It says the Mishnah in this case, shalmana notelet chamishim, which is really weird. The one who had a claim of 100 gets 50. The one who had a claim of 200 and the one who had a claim of 300, both of them, who have a stronger lien now on more property, so therefore they split the second money all by themselves, and each one basically takes shlosha shlosha shel zahav. A dinner of zahav is 25 dinar kesef. Each one gets 75, which is 150. The other one got 50, and that gives us the 2, which is what the field is worth. Suppose that there was altogether nechasim that were worth shalosh meot. So now what happens is this. The first 100 out of the 300 is basically held in a lien by all three together. The second one is now divided between the one who has for 200 and one who has for 300, because they both have a lien against the second field of 200. The third one is only mishubad to the one who has 300. So it works out, therefore, shalmana notelet chamishim, which of course doesn't work out, but the same problem we had earlier, we'll try to work it out in the Gemara. So the one who had now a claim of a ketuvah of a mana, she takes 50 zuz. The one who has now a claim of 200 takes 100. The one who had 3, she gets 6 times a dinar zahav, which is 25, and therefore she gets 150. The same thing would be true of 3 partners. She too, the keys, they all put in a certain amount of money into a wallet in order to be able to go out now and buy and sell. So this is basically an iska. They're interested in investing in a business. And here too, one gives 100, one gives 200, one gives 300. Pichato tiu kachin chokim. If they lose money or they end up making profit, the chaluka goes according to the amount of money that you put in, just as this din of Piraon does. Ask the Gemara, Shalmana notelet chamishim, why in the world would the one who has 100, and that means that she is basically going to split that 100 three ways, because the one that was 200 is certain, subsumes the 100, the one who was 300 subsumes the 100, which means she gets one-third of 100, which ought to be tlatin utlat v'tilta 33 and a third, is what I heard last time I made it. Hudi itla, not chamishim, and yet for some reason where the Mishnah comes up with this idea of having chamishim. Or Mashmuel, we must be talking about a case where the one who had a right to 200 wrote the one that only had 100, feeling very sorry for her, that dinu dvarim ein li'imar b'mana, that the property that falls to you in order to collect your ketuvah, I know how little money you're going to get out of this whole thing. I am not going to put in a claim on anything that would lessen the amount that you would get. Which means that essentially now, the Balad Mona is only going to be splitting that first Mona two ways, not three ways, because the second woman who was the Mataim, had already been misalekat herself, and that explains how we get 50 instead of 33 and a third. Ask the Gemara, Hiyachi, we're talking over here, that the 200 had given away her rights. So then how do you explain the continuation? Ema Seifa. Shalmatayim v'shal sholosh me'ah sholosh sholosh sholzot. Each one, the 200 and the 300, they get 75. Three dinari zahav, each one being worth 25. Now, why in the world would she be splitting with the Baalat Sholosh Meot in the 50 of that first mona? Tamala, why isn't the one who gets 300 tell the three, one who says 200? Now, wait a second over here. I'm going to take the full 50 of the first one, not 25. Because Hasalak Nafshech Mina, you have no part at all in that first mona. So that we only split it two ways. That woman took 50, and now I'm going to take the other 50. But how do you come off taking anything? Says the Gemara, because she can tell her, Mishum da Amrala, the 200 woman tells the 300 woman, all I did was I said I won't take anybody to court. All I didn't give anybody a gift. All I did was, as I said, that I will not sue for anything that is going to cause you to get less. But now I certainly never meant to take away my right to sue against a spoiled person like you who got 300 for her ketuvah. And therefore, as soon as the first woman took her 50, I now insist on splitting what's left. And therefore, we have exactly the 25. Because in that 50, you and I have the same amount of money that is leaned. Now, the next piece in the Mishnah is that HaYisham Sholosh Meyot, if you have 300, so then the one who has 200 gets 100. Ask the Gemara, does that make sense? Shematayim mana. How do you get mana? She really should only be getting Shivim v'chamisha, she gets 75, because she had no rights to the 25 and the first mana. She already had been misalik herself. So she gets 50 in the second mana. In the mana ashlishit, she doesn't have anything at all. So all she can do is she split the 50 that was left after the first woman from whom she had been misalik herself splits, so she can get another 25 there. Last I heard, 50 and 25 is 75, not 100. On our Shmuel, the case over here is because Tevet Balat Sholosh Meot, the Balat Matayim, the Balat Mona, Dinu Devarim Eim Liyimachem B'mon. Here it's talking about that the 300 wrote to both of them, wrote to the 200 and to the 100 woman. And this one who was getting 200 in this case did not write anything. So that means the first mona, the Balat Matayim, who never had taken herself away from the rights, and the Balat mona are both going to be sharing the 100, which explains why the first one gets 50. The second mona now is now being split because it's a tvi'a. It's leaned to the one who gets the 300, and it's leaned to the one who gets 200. Okay, so they split that, and they get 50. Now, the third mana, that is only shayach to the woman who had sholosh meyot. So, therefore, what it turns out is that the balat mana is left with half of that mana, because the third one had taken herself out, and that's 50. The balat hamatayim, she has 50, which she split with the mana lady, in the first mana, so they split it 50-50. And she also has now half of the second mana, because she and the other woman have equal claims to that lien. And then the Balat Shalosh Meot, she gets now the entire mana Hashlishi plus 50 of the mana Hasheni. So now it works out very well. This, according to this approach, we're always going to be talking about a case where someone had to be misalik themselves for the rights. That's a little bit of a difficult teretz, because of which the Gemara now brings a different teretz from Rabbi Yaakov Minahar Pekot. He has a completely different approach. He says, why is it that the first one, when there's 200, that the first one, the one who has a right to only 100, takes 50? And in the Seifa, when it was all the way, went up to 300, the Bala Tamatayim takes a mana. And that's what we need to explain. And we need to try to explain it a little bit more elegantly than Shmuel did. I say, it's talking about over here that the Reisha is B'shtei Tvisot, the Seifa B'shtei Tvisot. Both cases in the Mishnah, I'm not talking about that anybody had to be Masalik themselves. Rather, what it's talking about over here is that the Tvisa, when they went and they took Metaltalim for the property, they had done it in two separate steps. They didn't find the entire Matayim Zuz all at once. They found it twice. And the Sefer is talking about two Tvisot, in which they did not find the 300 Zuz all at once. And here's how it works. When we say the Reisha is B'shtei Tvisot, it's talking about that at first they're able to find 75 Zuz worth to be Tofes. Now in that 75, they all are owed equally. They have the same lien. So each one now gets 25 out of the 75, the three women. That's fine, because they all have basically the same lien. Now, the second time that they went ahead and found property, or found metaltim they would be able to take, they found 125. And now, put the two together, and you have indeed the 200 that we were talking about. The way that it works now is the Balat Mona that already had collected 25 Zuz from that first Nefila that had been 75 worth, she has now an additional 75 that she's owed. The Balat Matayim has 175. She only collected 25. And the Balat Shalosh Meos has a right now to collect 275. Therefore, what we're going to say now is that 75 that fell from the Nefila Shnia, that was owed equally to everybody, because even the smallest of them still had a lien for 75. So we have to split that three ways. Okay, we take that money, and we say, how much is left? So we have 75 left to the minimum. Now, that means that there are three women over here in the next $75 worth of tvisa that have to share evenly. The Baalat Mataim is left with 175. The Baalat Shalosh Meos is left with 275. So let's look at it. 75 from the second Nefila is still Meshubit to all three. Okay, since it's Meshubit all three, they split it evenly, which brings us up to 50 now for the Baalat Hamana. And now the remaining 50 are now going to be split between the Matayim and between the Baalat Shalosh Meos. That means that the Baalat Mona has gotten 50. The Baalat Matayim and the Baalat Shalosh Meos, each one of them, can collect 75, which is 3 dinrei zahav. The Seifa is B'shtei Tvusot. It's talking about the Nafu Shivim L'chamisha B'chadzim. Here too, 75 falls initially. They find 75 and they grab it. They're going to split it. So we tell them they have to split evenly. Because after all, they all have sufficient lien to be able to be Tofes that 75. Each one takes now 25. Umatayim v'srim v'chamisha b'chadzim. The second time, 225 falls. So now, the Baalat Mona has now only the right to collect 75 out of that. The Baalat Matayim has 175. The Baalat Shalosh Meos has 275. So what we say is, let's take a look at the first 75 that they are all owed. That's Meshubah to all of them. They split it evenly. And that's the end of the Baalat Hamana, because now she has no more rights of collection. Because we already took property that was worth that money, and she collected out of it. So that means now what's left over above and beyond that, after she got her total of 50, we now have 150 zuz. Because on the 100 of the 150, there is a lien both for the Baalat Mataim and for the Baalat Shalosh Meot, because after all, they both share in that second 100. And because of that, both of them have to be chelek evenly, and that gives now 50. Now what's left over here is the last 50, which is above the 200, is actually only owed to the one who has 300 for a ketuvah. So therefore it works out that the Baalat HaMana gets 50, 75 was split three ways, and another 75 was split three ways, that gives her 50. And the Baalat Matayim has now 100. The Baalat Shalosh Meot has now Me'av HaKamishim. Tani the Braisa says that Zohar, what we just learned in our Mishnah, that everyone is gova basically proportionately to what it was that they owned, that's going according to Rabbi Natan, to Mishnah Rabbi Natan. But Rabbi Omer, Ein Ani Ro'e Dvarav Shel Rabbi Natan Be'ilu, I don't think that Rabbi Natan is telling us over the halakha as it ought to be. Rather, Ella, in a case where there are three mana, there are cholkais b'shava. Because look, so long as she wasn't paid, even the smallest one, she has not been paid her entire ketuvah, she now gets to collect, because the rest are still going to be meshubah to the ketuvah. Until her ketuvah is paid, all of the nechasim are meshubah to the ketuvah. Therefore, the Baalat HaMatayim, the Baalat HaShalosh Meot, is not any better than hers. In which case, each one of them would be taking one mana. Now, we also had in the Mishnah case of Shechin Shosher Shitilu. So they go into business together. Omar Shmuel, Shnayim Shitilu Lekis. Zem Manav Zem Matayim. Two people who make an investment that is uneven. One puts in 100 into the work, one puts in 200 into the works. The din is nonetheless a sachar le'emtza. They split the profits and losses straight down the middle. Omar Rabba mistaver milti reshvum b'shor l'charisha v'omid l'charisha. Look, Shmuel, I must say, does not sound like it could be possibly said under all circumstances. If we're talking about that they went ahead, put money together, and they bought with it a shore. And the reason they bought the shore is that they are going to rent the shore out for farm work. So then we say that even though one has a greater chelek in the shore than the other one, the bottom line is that the shore couldn't care less. He needs all of his pieces, whether you got a big piece or a little piece. And therefore, we don't say over here that one of them essentially has done more than the other one. But when it comes to a shor l'charisha, the omed l'tficha, how about if they buy together a shor that was meant to be used for plowing? And now the shor became very fattened up, and it was shechted, and they come now to sell the meat. So over here, once the shor was split up into its parts, then in Achinami, the Baal HaMatayim, has a greater chelek in the basa than the Baal HaMona. Because of that, zenotel afimotav. In that case, you actually do get what it is that you're making off of it. Rav Nunama, afil shor l'charishav amele tivicha, even if you brought with the money a shor, and then you went in and you shechted it, and now you want to sell the flesh, hasakar le'emtza, even in that case, you split it evenly. Although there you would think that each one should only get according to the amount that he put in. As Rav Amnuna says, Afilu shor l'charisha v'omed l'tvicha, even if they bought money for shor l'charisha, and then they went ahead and they shechted it, still the revach goes straight down in the middle. So according to Rashi, we're talking about Ovir the Machlokas from Rav Amnuna, is what we're saying is that we bought a shor for Charisha, and then we went ahead and shechted it. So according to Rava, once you went ahead and you shechted it, and now it is reduced to separate pieces of meat, so then certainly everybody should have how much they invested in this meat. Does it make sense to look at it any other way? Rav Nuna says no, but look, the bottom line is that the partnership continued on, and that way they're going to make money more than the sale of the basar. And since it's more than the sale of the basar, it says if they had put money in to make money. And over there, we said a moment ago that they split things evenly. Okay, so now what Robert's mashmana, what Robert was saying, is that when they buy a shor l'charisha, so over there Shmuel says that in, when it comes to the shutafut of doing charisha, basically everybody, I mean, what are you going to say? We should let our shor be choresh without its back legs, or without its head, or without, I mean, so it doesn't matter really what you put in. The bottom line is we all need the other person's investment in order to be able to make money. But on the other hand, if you went ahead and you put money into a common kitty in order to go and make money, over there you can certainly continue one without the other. There's going to be some profit in selling the smaller amount of goods. So therefore, each one of them would take his revach according to how much it was that he invested. That's the way that the Gemara seems to be saying. However, not everybody agrees. In other words, there are many Rishonim that learn that even in a case where they all banded over here together and put in money in order to buy things and to sell them, they also take a revach straight down the middle. And that we should not take Rabbah as meaning precisely the issue of it's actually being a physical shor that needs to have everybody in there. Because basically, as long as they didn't make any deal between them, we assume that what it was meant was to split evenly. And that's because, look, I mean, everybody has different talents, you know. One of these guys may be very good as a salesman, and therefore it makes up for the smaller amount of money they put in. Or it could be, it's time to say, the mazal of the two is also something that works together. Asks the Gemara. Meisve. Shnayim shitilu lekis, two people put money now into a common kitty. If differing amounts, zeman of zematayim, and none din nonetheless is that the profits are split down the middle. Now, my love, I mean, isn't this bright, huh? It's also talking about a case of a shor l'charisha. The omed l'tficha. So my love, I mean, I would assume that we're talking about even a case of a shor l'charisha. The omed l'tficha. They went ahead and they bought a shor for charisha, and then they went and they shechted it. And nonetheless, it says over here that the revach is split evenly. To Yufta the Rabbah, who says that no, in such a case, since it's Be'evorim, we would actually split it according to the amount, because Be'evorim are splittable. Says the Gemara, lo. The Bright indeed is not talking about where they were kind of Shor l'charisha, and now they want to shecht it. It's talking about B'Shor l'charisha v'Omed l'charisha, where they're going to be doing business with it. And that's exactly where Rabbah said that certainly over there we would split it evenly. Ask the Gemara if the Reish is talking about over here where they bought a Shor l'charisha, which is Omed l'charisha. And if that's the case, then we have to assume that in another case in which Avos Shor l'charisha, Omed l'tficha, my, what would then be the din? That Zeno telefim otav, Zeno telefim otav. If that's the case, isn't that a much bigger finish than what we actually do say in the Sefer, Hadatani Sefer, where it says in the Sefer that if they did not buy Shvarim b'mishutav, but rather, lakach ze bishalo, one guy puts in $200 and he buys a very, very good and healthy shor. Ze bishalo, another one finds a rather lean and dried out shor, and he buys it for mea. Vinitarvu, and then they went ahead and they used it together for doing, let's say, plowing. Zenotelefimotav. Over there, obviously, the productivity of a 200 zushar is much greater than the weaker shar. And therefore, in that case, they take it according to how much they put in. But what would be the need to completely change the case? It's talking about that. Let's take exactly the same cases in the Reisha. Liflod v'likne b'didei, where they bought a behema, one behema, and they both put in money of differing amounts. And let the Braita simply say, b'med, v'orim amurim, when do we say that they split evenly? Dafka, which is shor l'charisha, v'omed l'charisha. But if it was a shor l'charisha, and then it's now going to be shechted, then zenotel afimotav, zenotel afimotav. Says the Gemara, well, that is what it's saying. Hachinamika Omar, you're reading the Braita wrong. It's saying, b'med, v'orim amurim, where do we say that they split evenly? That's only where it's a shor l'charisha, v'omed l'charisha. But if it would have been a shor l'charisha, which was omed l'tvicha now, that would be exactly the same. Imagine if somebody went ahead, so it's nas, and now you've changed the case by determining to turn it into a vorim. In the same way that if the initial investment had been different shvarim, so too over here the investment turns out to be different avorim. And over there, if zebishlov, zebishlov nitarvu, clearly we would all agree that zenotel afimotav, zenotel afimotav. Ask the Gemara. Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, Chin Shlosha Shikiru Lekis, if you have three people investing, so then Pichatu Otiru Kachim Chokim. They do the Chalukah in exactly the same way. Now, I assume that when it says my love, I mean, when the Tanan says Pichatu, that means they lost money, right? Pichatu Mamash. Hotiru is Hotiru Mamash. Now, it's saying over there that they are supposed to split the Revach and the Hefset according to the money that they put in. Because it says over here, it's the same din as in the Mishnah, where the women actually get differing amounts according to the different amount of their ktuvot. And that doesn't make any sense according to Shmuel, because Shmuel says that in the case of Shutvin, they split it evenly. And says the Gemara of Nachman, Omer Rabba Bar Havua, the meaning over here does not mean hotiru. That means that they made profit, or pichato, does not mean that they lost money. Hotiru means zuzichadete, that basically they built up the coinage that they had. So they started off with poor quality zuzim, and they managed to build up these zuzim until they now have become valuable, so that they can now be using, it's the same amount of money, but they're using now freshly minted money, so that what they're left with is better zizim than they started off with in the beginning. And when it talks about pichatu, it means exactly the same thing. Pichatu means astira detzonita. It's talking about over here where the king had now canceled the astira. So it's no longer worth any money, and you cannot use it because they refuse to honor it in the government. And that's the pichato. Now, in such cases, even Shmuel would be moda, that the revach and the hefset in this case has nothing to do with what you did. It's rather the actual value of the coins. And of course, over there, this is my coin. The coin is now in a better matzav, but I can't take what the other person was marviach in the coin. So therefore, here, even Shmuel would be moda.